Welcome to the Hot Fuzz.
The Month of Movies podcast for September 2017.
Lights, Camera, Action. That's what it is. I'm Scott.
And I'm Jason.
And Month of Movies for September 2017. What I did this year, I'm trying to watch 100 movies that I own that I haven't watched since I bought them.
And I made a list of movies I should have seen by now. And the two movies I watched this month, because I'll probably spoil them, are Dark Crystal and Field of Dreams.
And then whatever other movies you watched during that month.
Yeah.
Last month, you hit it out of the park with watching a lot of movies.
Yeah.
I did it this time.
Yeah.
We probably should have talked about how many movies you watched before, so we know how to do spacing time.
Oh.
Oh, well. Jesus. I'm going to take up all the time. All right, so the first movie I watched this month, I watched this movie in college, and I was like, it's all right, but I bought it recently when Mega Media Exchange was going out of business, because it was a two-pack that had Training Day and Fallen in it. Turns out the Fallen disc didn't work.
Oh, so that sucks, because that would have been the one I was excited about.
Yeah, exactly, that's the reason why I bought it. So I watched Training Day.
I think he won an Emmy for that. Emmy, Oscar.
Oh, God, he didn't sing, did he? What is Emmy?
Emmy's TV.
Oh, I don't know the difference.
Grammys is the music.
But Training Day is better than I remember being.
I never saw it.
It's actually pretty good. So what happens is, oh boy, names are so important. Denzel Washington is the main character, and then Ethan Hawke is the, it's his Training Day. So he wants to become like a detective on the streets of, I think, L.A., possibly, but he wants to go into like narcotics and like do drug busts and like be really like be a detective on the streets. And Denzel Washington's character is like, "Hey, I'll show you the streets, I'll show you the ropes and everything." And then, but then you kind of realize that Denzel Washington's character, he's been doing it for a long time, and he kind of is he's kind of a little crooked and does a lot of things to benefit himself and stuff, and then. And it's up to Ethan Hawke's character to sort of, you know, put him in his place. Now, I can't say too much about the movie because it's one of those that, like, hey, this happens, then this happens, and then later it's like, oh, that was important, and then, like, you find out that this, you know, it's... But, they both, Ethan Hawke and Denzel Washington are great in it. They, That's some pretty cool moments. I don't know what else to say about it, but it's... I'm not usually the kind of person that watches, like, crime drama movies.
Yeah.
I mean, technically this is considered a crime drama thriller. But, I gave it a 7.5. And IMDb gave it a 7.7, so I'm pretty close. Pretty close to that. Won one Oscar. I'm sure it's probably for Denzel Washington for being...
Yeah, I think it was Best Actor.
Best Actor. Yeah, he did a good job. Best Actor in a leading role, yep. Best Supporting Role was nominee, Ethan Hawke. But, so I gave it a 7.5. The first year we did this...
Yeah.
I watched Jaws because it was one of the best movies of all time.
Yeah.
Now, I've always loved Jaws. And I bought the box set of the Jaws sequels... to watch those. So I'm going to kind of go through those right now.
Okay.
And I might spoil some things in there, so if you're really worried about Jaws being spoiled for you...
Why did you wait so long?
Yeah. This is a fair warning.
Sequel.
So Jaws, great movie. It's my favorite movie of all time. They made a sequel, and I remember it being not great. So I'm like... And then I know, like, they get worse as they progress. So the second movie, it takes place, like, I don't remember exactly how much more time after the first movie. It might be the next year, it might be a few years after. Either way, Brody's still chief of police in Amity Island. But then, they, like, shark attack happens again, and he's like, oh, it's happening again. And everyone's like, no, no, we don't believe you, and all this other shit. He's like, guys, trust me, it's a shark, it's happening again. And like, no, no, we don't believe you at all. Which, obviously, if I ever meet anyone named Brody and tells me about sharks, I'm going to believe them.
Yeah.
Because you'll see a pattern emerging in this whole anthology. And actually, he ends up causing a scene at the beach one day because he thinks he sees a shark. So he runs out shooting a gun at the water. Yes. But it was like a school of bluefish. And like, well, sorry, buddy. You're no longer the chief police. We're letting you go. Like, the mayor and everyone, like, votes him, so he loses his chair as chief police. But then, in the meantime, his kids are getting older, so like, hey, we want to go out in the water. He's like, no, you can't go out in the water. There's a shark out there. So they end up like sneaking off, him and his the older kid who's like in high school at this point, and then his younger brother. They go and sneak off, and lo and behold, a shark, like a whole bunch of like kids go off in these like, boats and stuff to go like, hey, we're gonna go party at the lighthouse and stuff. And the shark just demolishes a bunch of the fucking boats and stuff, and like scars the little kid because he sees a girl get eaten in front of him. And that comes up later in the third movie. But then it's basically up to Brody to be like, I'm not a police officer anymore, but I'm going to go try to save the town. And then, the main characters don't die, but a bunch of other people do. Like, it's like the first movie, a few people die, but this one's like, we're going to double the death count, which is probably what causes the movies to get shitty, because, like, we're just going to turn it into, how many people can this shark murder, you know? So anyways, that's the second movie. The third movie, it takes place, you follow the main son, I think his name is Michael. you follow him, and it's played by one of the Quaids, Randy Quaid or Dennis Quaid? The guy who's more of a serious actor.
Dennis Quaid. From Frequency.
Yeah. I was going to say from Legion. Just kidding. Dennis Quaid, yeah, Mike is working at SeaWorld, and they have the SeaWorld park is located right next to the ocean, so a shark gets into the lagoon, and they're like, oh, look, we found a shark in the lagoon, and they're like, we should put it in an exhibit, because there's hardly any people in, like, that have a live great white shark in their exhibits and stuff. And Mike Brody's like, no, we shouldn't do that, sharks are bad. These sharks, you can't trust them. And then the shark ends up dying. They go, oh, that's not good. It's like, wait a minute. Hold on. This shark is way too small for this death that happened. It's way too small. Like, oh my God, the mother's in the park. And then the fucking giant great white shark just wreaks havoc in SeaWorld because they decided to do a underground, like, tunnel thing underneath, like, the lagoon. So the shark just starts breaking into, like, these things and just murdering people like crazy. It's the worst Jaws of all four.
Really? It's worse than Revenge?
Yes. This is just shit.
And that's the only sequel I really watched, like, in full.
Yeah, it's... Oh, yeah, also, the younger brother, not Mike, but, oh, shit. Sean Brody. He's the one that, like, sees someone get murdered right in front of him. He's like, I don't want to get in the water. I'm afraid of the water. And then one girl's like, oh, come on, let's go in the water. Okay. And then he just gets in there like, what the fuck? All you need was like a girl to tempt you to get in the water, and you do.
I'll never smoke. Here, have a cigarette. Okay.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm afraid of water. Something bad happened when I was a kid. And then she's like, let's get in this, one of these like go-kart, you know, one of those inner tube things with a go-kart, like the motors and like just a little boat thing you drive around.
Okay.
Like a bumper boat kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
He's like, oh, let's get in this. Like, I don't want to get in the water. She's like, come on, okay. I think this is only for one person. And then two of them get in there, and then she ends up getting like her leg bitten off. So he's like, I'm afraid of water again. But oh, it like nothing happens in that movie that matters because you just don't give it. It's because I feel like every time they had the kids, the Sean and Mike, it was a different actor every single movie. So you're like, this. I don't have any connection to anyone in this movie because it's all new actors. But then Jaws 4 which is called Jaws: The Revenge, at the very beginning of the movie, Sean, the youngest kid who's afraid of being in the water, he's now in his father's shoes where he's grown up. He's the police chief of town, and it's Christmas, and he's like, oh, there's this log that's weighing down this buoy. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to take care of the log, and then I can take off for Christmas. He goes out there. The shark eats him and murders him within the first 4 minutes of the movie. And then the mother, who is actually the same mother as from the first two movies, she's like, oh, no, my son's dead. Oh, no. And I lost. Apparently, the dad had died of a heart attack. So he's not in the movie. So that's, I guess they didn't want to pay, you know, him to be in it. So then for Christmas, she decides to, like, her son Michael's like, hey, come on down to the Caribbean or whatever. I'm doing all this like science stuff with fish. And it's going to be a whole lot of fun. Come on down to the tropical area so that you don't have to think about dad and your son being dead. So then when she gets down there, she's like, the shark is following me. This shark is like, she's all fucking paranoid. Like, this shark killed Sean because of what, Chief Brody did to it when all those years ago. And it's like, so she's kind of admitting that it's a ghost shark. I don't understand that aspect of it. But then the fucking sure thing, the shark does follow him down there, which he apparently, like, great white sharks like cool water, and that's not what kind of water is down in the tropical islands. So he's like, just like, what the fuck? Why is this shark down here? So they're tagging it and stuff and trying to do studies on it and stuff. And then she ends up like losing her mind and going off into a boat to try to like stop the shark. It's not great, but at least Michael Caine's in it. And it's in a nice tropical area. It's, I don't know. It's not as bad. But like, you can tell. Oh, and also in this one, they try going back to the original, because like in the first movie, Chief Brody's sitting there at the table, like after he's like, I gotta figure out what to do with this, and then he's like just kind of fumbling with his fingers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then Sean, the youngest one, is like copycatting him. They do that in this movie with Michael and then his daughter, and you're like, oh, you're trying to get that shine back from Steven Spielberg directing the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like the first one's amazing, but the second one they tried doing what the first one was, but failed. The third one, like, fuck it, it's gonna be in 3D. They had parts where like harpoons were flying at the screen and a shark flies through the shitty glass at the screen, and it was bad. And the fourth one, like, I don't know what they said, we just need to do a Jaws movie, and we have like these tropical islands open. But I gave Jaws 2, I gave it a 7.5. It's not bad, it's pretty good. Jaws 3, Jaws 3D, I gave it a 5. Which I feel like I should knock it. I'm knocking it down to 4, sorry. Jaws 3 gets a 4.
What?
And then Jaws the Revenge, I gave it a 6. And then if you listen to the from first year, I gave Jaws the first one a 10. It's been the only one that I think I've given a 10.
I don't know how many movies I give in tens. I gave a couple.
You gave Scott Pilgrim, I know.
Yeah. I feel like Sin City, the first one, I might have. If not, it was a 9.5. So the first movie I watched, I know you watched it.
Yeah.
Is a little movie called Get Out. In case you haven't heard what Get Out is, it's a movie by... What's his name? Pell?
Jordan Peele.
So this is his break away from comedy into horror, and I'm trying to figure out how to explain this. So this white girl is dating this black guy.
Whoa!
And she's like, "Hey, let's go up north to visit my parents." And they're like, "Okay," and they get up there, and her parents live like this big, huge, I don't know what, like plantation-like house, and they have black servants around the house, and he feels a little uncomfortable. And then her brother shows up, and
he's a fucking weirdo.
He's like, "Hey, bet I can beat you in a race and stuff like that." I don't remember what he was saying. He was saying some really racist things, But then, like, they're like, oh, yeah, a whole bunch of her family and friends are coming up for this get-together. They're like, what, this weekend? Like, yeah. Come on, it's going to be all right. And then there are, like, a whole bunch of white people. There's a couple of black people.
Just old white people.
All the white people they know.
Rich, old white people.
Yeah, who are trying not to be racist but sound racist at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just very uncomfortable in that situation, like, watching this character. But he seems pretty casual about it at first.
Yeah, because he's like, I'm used to it. I'm used to people acting weird around me.
People acting weird around black people and stuff like that.
Because, like, one of the first things that happens, like, they hit a deer on the way up there. And then the officer's like, I want to see your ID. She's like, he wasn't driving. He's like, yeah, I'm used to this, you know, type thing.
And then there's a part in the movie you start figuring out why these people are acting this way. I'm not going to get into that point.
Yeah.
Because that kind of spoils the whole movie. But I don't know. Overall, I thought it was interesting. And reading between the lines on a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ending and everything. I thought it was very well made. I don't know. I'm happy when we have... I mean, it didn't really seem like a horror. Parts of it did.
Yeah.
But most of it felt like a psychological thriller.
I looked on IMDb to see what category it was.
Yeah.
It's considered a horror mystery.
Yeah, because you're trying to figure out why people are acting weird.
I don't know, like horror thriller or suspense thriller.
Right. I thought it was very good because... Like I said, with horror movies, everything seems repeating.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got this movie that is different. I can't remember the production company that made it, but I want to say it's like Blumhouse or something like that. They've got my attention as far as releasing movies because they also did the remake of It.
I was going to say, like, the producer.
They did the Purge movies and stuff like... They're doing horror, but they're doing it different, which instead of just blood and guts or jump scares constantly.
Well, I was going to say, that's one nice thing about a horror movie where it's not, like, you watch it and you go, oh, good. Like, in the first hour, 10 people didn't just die randomly for no reason. It's like, God damn it. They actually had a plot and...
The whole, like, I was watching documentaries and stuff on it, and Jordan Peele was saying that he wanted it... to not be a movie where you're just like, what the fuck are you doing? Leave. Like, as you're watching it, you're like, yeah, I could see why he would still be there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it just gradually incline, like, and then you get sucked into it and you feel, like, the uncomfortableness.
Yeah.
And he did a really good job. He in the interview, too, he was also saying that horror and comedy are pretty much the same thing. But, because comedy, you want to catch people off guard.
Mm-hmm.
Same with horror.
Yeah.
Like, he's, like, pointing out all these like, things that go hand in hand. He's like, it's very easy to turn a comedy into a horror.
Yeah.
So he's like, so I figured I would show people that. And we're like, yeah. I mean, it had a couple funny moments, but it definitely wasn't, like, hinging on the funny moments. It was hinging on the uncomfortable and shocks and stuff. But I liked it. I gave it a 9.
I gave it an 8.
So, if you haven't seen it, I recommend it.
Yeah.
It's one of those movies that I'm like, everyone's talking about it. It can't be that good, can it? And I was actually really pleasantly surprised by it.
Yeah.
Even though I'm like, everyone likes it, this is going to suck. And I was going in afraid that I wasn't going to like it.
There is a lot of things in it that, like, just made me go, I'll mention it later because I'm like, I don't want to accidentally say something and then.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. It's just. Yeah.
Yeah. So I watched that one. And then I watched this Netflix movie called Little Evil.
Oh, yeah.
With Evangeline Lilly and Adam Scott. It's Adam Scott meets this girl who has a kid and he dates her and, eventually marries her, but, you know, the kid's not his, so he's kind of like the stepfather. I shouldn't say like, he is the stepfather.
He's really the stepfather.
he's a stepfather, and he's trying to get along with the kid, but the kid is evil, much like the title says. And everyone's like, yeah, you're just exaggerating because, you know, kids hate step-parents. And he goes to his wife and says, yeah, I'm worried about him and stuff. She's like, that's just because he's not your kid and you don't care as much about him. He's like, no, I'm trying. No, you're not. And she's, like, saying that he's not trying to get along with him because he keeps saying, like, he's doing this horrible stuff. And she's like, no, he's not. You're just mad because he's not bonding with you. But it is evil stuff. It's like the Omen style.
Yeah.
And, yeah, because they don't have the wedding. Like, they already got married and they're moving in and stuff like that. And they're like, oh my God, that wedding was like a nightmare. And, like, you keep hearing hints about how bad the the wedding was.
Uh-huh.
And then eventually he goes to the wedding photographer to, like, check the pictures. And he's like, yeah, there's not much usable stuff here. But I have to show you this. And there's tornadoes going on during the wedding because it's an outdoor wedding. There's tornadoes and everything's flying everywhere. And the kid's just standing there staring at the camera. But his hair's not moving or anything. And they're like, that's not normal. So then they're like, oh my God. And they start piecing it together that he might be the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
So then they're like trying to figure out a way like to stop it. And they're like, well, you have to kill him. He's like, I just can't kill my stepkid. And like it starts, and then it starts going like in a different path and stuff. But it was humorous. I mean, it was a comedy horror, but it wasn't really overly funny, and it wasn't overly scary.
So it was like
an in between.
It was like a horror genre, but it was lighthearted horror,
right? But it's one of these movies that if you watch a lot of horror movies, you'll see like how a bunch of these things are connected and yeah. Like they're doing nods to a lot of the things, but they're not flat out. I mean, it's more of an Airplane than a scary movie, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like where they nod to the genre, but they don't like full out say,
yeah,
hey, this is taken from The Omen.
Yeah. We're doing this. Like, yeah. Parody of like three movies.
They did do one thing in the movie that pissed me off where an event's happening and then they go, 6 months earlier or something like that, and it's like the climax of the movie they show at the beginning.
I can hate that.
Yeah. So you're like, oh, so they know this is happening. Because at the beginning of the movie, Adam Scott's character basically gets buried alive. And, like, she runs out into the back and, like, he's like, he buried me. We're getting a divorce. And he's all mad. And you're like, oh. And then it cuts to, like, they're newlyweds. And you're just like, why did you have to show that part? Because, like, that just shows you that eventually she's going to realize, you know, I don't know. But I thought it was decent. I gave it a 7.5. It wasn't, like, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just looking for a little fun movie to watch and you have Netflix.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not one of those that you have to hunt down. Because if you have Netflix, you have Netflix.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm a fan of Adam Scott. I think he can be pretty funny. Especially when he's, like, trying to play somewhat serious at parts. I don't know. It was funny. So what did you watch, Scott?
The next one I watched, you watched as well.
Oh. I don't know which one that was.
You don't?
Was it Labyrinth? Oh.
The next one you watched.
Oh, the next one I watched. Was the next one? They're not in order.
Oh, they're not?
Because there's 7 comes after 8.
October this month. Sorry.
Yeah, so, okay, I did mention It earlier because they're the same company, production company that made Get Out.
But yeah, we watched It, the new one, not the old one.
The new It.
I watched the old one like a year or two ago. I think last year for the horror movies.
I did not. Unless I put it under Steven.
No, yeah, I don't even know if you ever watched the full.
I don't think I have, because I don't remember the adult part.
The giant spider. So, we watched...
That's right, it was The Stand that I watched.
Yeah. So, the movie It, we watched the remake, the current, with Bill Skarsgård as Pennywise.
Which, apparently, The Stand was before the podcast as well. Anyway.
Was it?
It's not on here.
Oh, Jesus.
I guess I could do it fine.
Then again, I watched it too, and I don't know if I talked about it. I might have talked about it. But anyways,
didn't talk about it because it was a TV show.
So anyways, I hate. That's one thing I hate about the movie name is because whenever I say it as a royal, phrase, it seems like it. I read the book and I watched the movie like last year of the original.
I have not read the book or seen the original. Apparently,
in the book, in the first initial miniseries, you see it jumps back and forth. To like when they're kids and when they're adults, to kids as adults. But this movie basically was the children, just the children aspect of it. Cat, stop biting cords. It's a children aspect. So what happens is these kids, things start happening in town. Sorry, I'm trying not to burp.
Sorry, the cat's like hitting that fucking table.
Oh boy, this is just a mess now.
You want napkins? Is that what? Oh, you want the straw.
Cat. Do you understand? You never. All right. So the premise of the film is a bunch of kids that call themselves the Losers Club. It's the beginning of summer. But one of the main characters, his little brother, recently disappeared. You see what happens to Georgie at the beginning of the movie. But the characters in the movie don't know what happened. He just disappeared. Bill, his older brother, is trying to. Figure out, like, he's trying to find the body, and that's
he thinks he's still alive.
He thinks he might be still alive, but then strange things start happening where the kids start seeing this clown around town, and kids are going missing. They're enacting a curfew saying, hey, you have to be in your house by 7 o'clock because people are going missing, and all this other stuff. But at the same time, the adults are kind of not helpful in any aspect at all to the children, so that it's up to the children to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, because kids keep disappearing in this town.
Yeah,
and the kids are the only ones that seem to notice it, apparently,
or care. And there's like posters and stuff, but other than that, police aren't like actively searching and stuff. But it's a lot of like the kids becoming friends, also coming up against. Alternate evil, not alternate evil, but like a pretty high evil in town. Like the plot overall isn't huge, but if you know it, then you kind of like that's at least something to get you going. You see him as a clown, but like he has this sort of like
he's more than just a clown.
Yeah, he's more than just a clown, obviously. So, but yeah, the kids in the movie were awesome. They acted like their acting was great. Like, forgot his name is the kid, the hypochondriac kid. He was fucking awesome. That's Stuart. Was Stanley?
I was gonna say Denny.
No, Stanley was the actor was awesome. Like just over like you can't go in there. That's Greywater. That's this and this, and it's I don't know. The acting in it was fucking awesome. The creepiness of it, like I never thought that Tim Curry was amazing in it, but I don't know, people love Tim Curry. But Bill Skarsgård was fucking terrifying as Pennywise, and there's some moments in the movie. I can't wait to watch it again because there are so many parts that fucking creep me out, whether it was stuff in the background or if it was just stuff like just how people react and reactions. And like, dude, the guy that directed this movie, man, he took a lot of details into account. That's all I can say.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on in the background you might not notice. There's a lot of nods to the book. There's a lot of nods to the show.
There's a lot of nods to Stephen King's material in general.
Yeah. And, like, better nods than Dark Tower had.
Yeah.
Instead of just like, oh, look, there's a dog.
Yeah.
I gave it an 8.5.
I gave it a 9.
Yeah. I feel like it's one of those that I'd have to watch again.
Yeah, yeah.
But 8.5 is still a good score for me.
Yeah.
There was a couple things, like, that generic horror movies are doing that they did in this one, and that kind of made me a little mad. Like the scene where they sped it up and he ran at the camera.
Yeah.
Like some of the jump scare type shit. But they did some really creepy scares too, where you felt uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Which is the stuff I like in horror movies.
Yeah.
Well, the thing. So, I mean, it had a horror for everybody, I think.
Yeah.
But people I know that really liked the original were kept comparing it to it,
mm-hmm.
so they didn't like it. But I feel like this is a better telling than the TV show did, because it's not... I mean, the one was made for TV.
Yeah.
They were obviously limited on what they could do.
Yeah.
I felt that the other people in town, like the pharmacist and stuff, were way creepier.
Yeah.
Like, I liked how they made everybody in town pretty creepy.
Yeah.
Instead of just it, or Pennywise, I should say.
Yeah.
They made a ton of characters creepy and made you realize why these kids were special.
Is yeah.
Because their fucking town is nuts.
Mm-hmm. But to go back on that thing where, like, where he sped up and was running and screaming, yeah. like the jump scare stuff... Well, like, the way I saw it, also, like, not just for scaring people watching the movie, but also, this creature feeds on people's fear.
Right.
So, like,
so if you
for him to do,
situation.
Like, jump scares, like, that will startle the fuck out of people, boost up their adrenaline, and, like, mm-hmm. he's like, yes, it's sweeter now, you know, type thing. Where I'm like, I can see that, like, just... Because if you're walking, you see someone standing there going, oh, that's creepy. But if like you see someone just chasing after you, that fear will stick with you.
Yeah, that's true. put them in their shoes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because like that's what he's
put yourself like, in their shoes.
Yeah, because the more afraid you are, the better you will taste. But there was that one aspect where because each kid, like he's sort of a psychic type. Like, he sort of psychically feeds off people's fears and stuff, but also he can make himself appear as people's greatest fears. And there's one part where Stanley, he's Jewish, and he sees this painting in his rabbi's office, and the lady looked, like, really weird, like, skinny, and she's like, it was just the way it was, the painting was, she was all sort of deformed and stuff. And I was mm-hmm. thinking to myself, like, that looks familiar. That looks kind of familiar. Then I come home a few days later after watching It, and I watch the movie Mama. It's directed by the same guy, Andy Muschietti, whatever his name is. Like, I'll slaughtered his name. But the ghost lady in that movie looks kind of similar. It's like, it must be like his style of, like, what creepy things look like, because the lady's, like, super tall and thin, and her face was, like, really
yeah, like, sharp. Mama was also one of those movies I really liked.
Yeah, it's one of those movies, like, I liked it a lot, but a lot of people gave it shit and didn't care for it much. I'm like, I don't know. But the movie Mama, it's about this guy who, like, at the very beginning they kind of hint at something that's happening over, like, the radio and stuff like that, where a guy...
I thought we watched that during the podcast.
No, we didn't. Not. I know, I looked it up, too. I'm like, oh, I guess we didn't watch it during the podcast, but it wasn't, like, the year right before we started it.
Yeah. Because we were watching a lot of horror.
Because I think it came out in 2013, and our first year was 2014.
Yeah.
But it's about this guy who has two daughters, and it sounds like he has some sort of situation where at work he snapped and basically shot his, like, wife, I think. He went into her work and shot her or whatever. But then he kidnaps the girls... drives off, ends up driving off the road, and then, like, he's basically like, my life is over, so he goes to go kill the girls, but he, like, finds this cabin, and, as he's about to, like, shoot the girls in the head, this thing just comes in, this, like, ghostly figure comes in, and just breaks the dude's neck, and fucking annihilates him. And then jumps ahead a few years, and the, that dude, his twin brother, who's Jamie Lannister from Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to find his nieces, and then eventually, like, these hunting dudes, like these guys, like he hires, like this to look around in these pieces of earth, pieces of, like, the landscape and stuff, and they find his car. So they eventually come across the house. they save the, they find the girls, bring them in, and they've been like basically feral because they've been living on their own for so long that everyone thinks they're living on their own, but you see this sort of ghostly figure that kind of has been watching over them, protecting them. So then the main character, Lucas, and his girlfriend, Annabelle, who's played by Jessica Chastain, and people gave that movie a lot of shit because she's Jessica Chastain's like a good actress. Everyone loves her a lot. She has red hair, but she's like got this like weird like punk rock attitude and like black, like dyed black hair and stuff. And be like, ugh, that's not the kind of role for her. It's like, go fuck yourself. It's called acting. It's she's trying to do roles. But like they're like just dating and stuff like that. So like it's up to them to take care of the girls now. And she's not ready to be a mother. So she's like, oh shit, I gotta figure out what's going on with this. But then they sort of start uncovering who this lady this that was in this cabin, who she was, and going to her backstory and figuring out all sort of stuff. It's presented by Guillermo del Toro. He didn't direct it or write it or anything, but he presented it, I guess. So kind of like, hey guys, probably like, hey, check this movie out. It's pretty cool. I liked it a lot. At the girls, that little girl was such a good actress. Like, because it's hard to watch movies with little kids because some of them are so shitty at being actors or actresses. But this little girl was fucking good, being a little weird little weirdo.
Be a little weird weirdo.
Just being a little weird little weirdo. She was in the movie. Oh shit! I just looked it up because she is Lily in Mama, and then she was in a movie called Mommy, and she was in It as girl in bathroom. So I wonder if she's like the voice you hear in the sink.
Oh, maybe.
Ooh, creepy. Andy Muschinetti probably using his people he knows he likes. But yeah, like it. That's some creep. I liked it because in most movies when they go, oh, there's this weird supernatural effect going on, and they figure it out in the last 10 minutes of the movie, where this is like at least in the first half they're already looking into it. And like, good. Give the story time to breathe and spread out and stuff, which I like that aspect of it a lot. But overall, I gave the movie an 8.
Yeah, I'd probably give it like 8, 8.5. I haven't seen it in a while.
But. Yeah, it was better the first time I watched it, but it was still good.
The next movie I watched was one that I said I haven't watched and everyone else seems to have seen it, is Dark Crystal. Dark Crystal is a Jim Henson film that feels like you're dreaming.
Like a fever dream?
Yeah. So there's these two types of creatures that... There's, like, evil creatures that own... I don't even remember how to explain it. Remember how to explain it?
You had it performed it, like, written down ahead of time.
So, yeah, I know. I should have wrote notes on it. I didn't.
No, I meant, like, you remember how to explain... Like you.
Yeah, I forgot how to explain stuff in general.
Is it like Fae, evil Fae?
No, I'm looking up. Okay, so there's. What
the fuck? In the Age of Wonder.
So there's a bunch of these weird, creepy. I mean, everything looks creepy in this fucking movie. But they look like giant, round things with heads that stick up. And they're in charge of this giant crystal that affects the planet. And there's this little boy kid who's a different species that is like a prophecy to save the world. And he thinks he's the last of his kind. And as he's doing this adventure, he comes across this dark crystal shard that he can use to change the things or change the world for the better. And he runs into this other girl who's similar, who's the same species as him. And he's like, I didn't know anyone else existed. Wow, this just says, on another planet in a distant past, a Gefling embarks on a quest to find the missing shard of a magical crystal to restore order to his world. So a lot of it is a bunch of these giant creatures who are in charge of the crystal. He's sent to basically stop them from turning the world into darkness. And he's on a quest, and he comes across a little shard of crystal that he has to use and bring to this area to fix everything. So it's kind of like an adventure, similar to Labyrinth or Neverending Story, where he's trying to get from one place to the other, and he runs across these weird creatures along the way.
Mm-hmm.
But the evil ones, like I said, it's just like a giant mound with a head that sticks up and just like sways. They're swaying back and forth, and like the puppets like make the mouth move and stuff, and it sways. But you just go, they make like these weird noises when they're not talking, and I'm just like, oh my god, that's so fucking weird.
Yeah, the cat didn't even like that.
Just, but there's like a crazy witch lady, and it is fucking weird. I have a hard time explaining what happens because I felt like I was dreaming while I was watching this entire movie. Like, this is something that you would think up when you sleep.
Yeah.
And it's like, this doesn't make any sense. And then you're like, okay, now explain it. I don't fucking know how. It's like one of those weird fucking dreams that you don't know how to explain. But everyone loves it, apparently. Yeah. And I don't fully get it. Like, maybe when you're a kid. But I feel like I would have nightmares after watching this as a kid.
No offense to anyone listening that is a fan, but I kind of don't understand the whole appeal of Jim Henson in general.
I get some of it.
I mean, I like Fraggle Rock.
Yeah, Fraggle Rock, Muppets. I understand that stuff. But his really bizarre, dark shit that is aimed for kids, I don't understand. Like, I swear I would have fever dreams after watching this as a child.
Yeah.
Like, these creatures are not good. They're not... Okay, so the little boy... I'm explaining this as if you haven't seen it, but I'm assuming you all have seen this. It's a little person running around. It looks like a little kid, but it's got like a Muppet face.
Oh, yeah.
And like a nose and everything, and he talks, and it's creepy because it looks like a real person, but it's a puppet or something. Oh, my God. I would be afraid of seeing those things in real life. I don't know what to say. I'm probably going to piss off a lot of people with this review because I'm explaining it horribly. But yeah, at the end, it's one of those things. He's like, I got the crystal. We can save everything. Blah, 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 blah.
Like this?
Yeah, that's the girl. So there's a boy and girl like that. And oh my God. I gave it a 6. I don't know why I gave it so high, but I mean, it was something that was interesting to watch.
Yeah.
Would I watch it again? Probably not. And then there's such a huge fandom for this that they resurrected it for Netflix for, like, a continuation.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand because now that the crystal's fixed, like, what the fuck do you do now?
So they break again.
I don't know. But unless this is just, like, the continued adventures, like, Fraggle Rock style, like...
So all I knew about this movie for many, many, many years
was... You thought it was Labyrinth.
No, the band, the techno-electronica band, whatever, Crystal Method.
Oh, okay.
They have a song, the first song on their Vegas CD called Trip Like I Do. And the beginning, as it's, like, starting, there's a voice that, like, I found out recently was from, in the past, like, couple years... That is from the Dark Crystal, because it's like, another world, another time, in the Age of Wonder. The land was green and good until the crystal cracked.
Yeah, that's how the
Once movie more, starts, they will replenish themselves, cheat death again, the power of their source, the crystal. And then it says the crystal a few times, and yeah.
Yeah, another planet, another time, 1,000 years ago, the mysterious Dark Crystal was damaged by one of the Eurysixes of Age.
Oh, okay.
Chaos has begun. Evil race of grotesque bird-like lizards. Yeah, there you go. The Skeezeeks.
Skeezeeks?
Or something like that.
Skeezeeks.
Skeksis, probably.
Email us, tell us how we pronounce it.
Yeah. Yeah, email pronunciation. I can see the word.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the orphan Jen is raised by a solitude race of peace-loving wizards.
It's just going to be emailing a word that we can't read anyways.
Yeah. So, yeah, I watched that. I gave it a 6. And since I watched The Dark Crystal, it made me think of The Labyrinth. So I watched that one as well.
So did I.
And Labyrinth, in my opinion, is better than Dark Crystal. I liked the music. I liked... Scott didn't like the music. I don't know. It was more fun, and I don't know. That one I can compare to The NeverEnding Story, how it was a movie that I enjoyed watching.
Yeah.
All the way through. And even though I didn't really see this as a kid, it felt nostalgic.
Yeah.
Made me feel like a kid again. But
it felt like something I would watch on Halloween as a kid.
Yeah. And in case you haven't seen The Labyrinth, David Bowie plays the...
Goblin King.
Goblin King, that's it. I was like, the king of something. The Goblin King. And Jennifer Connelly is playing Sarah, who is supposed to be babysitting her baby brother. And she's getting frustrated. So she says this poem to have the evil Goblin King take him away. And then it happens. And she's like, oh, shit, I didn't mean that. And then she gets...
It's not fair.
And then she gets put into this labyrinth. And if she can make it to the center of the labyrinth, she can save her little brother.
By a certain time.
And the labyrinth is full of crazy critters. And it's a labyrinth. So it's a maze.
Yeah.
Which,
I mean, I hate to say it, but a lot of that was happenstance that they got. Like, there's no way a normal person go, I'm going to figure this out on my own, because they're like, oh, I met this person, then we crashed through this wall and fell down this hole, and then we went into this manhole and this, and they're like there's no way there's one set way.
I feel like there's probably multiple different ways.
There had to be.
Well, considering the walls kept moving and the tiles and stuff kept moving, like... They're trying to trick him up.
That was one of my favorite parts, though, when, like, she's like, it's just the one straight line. He's like, no, it's right there. And then she's like, she walks forward.
Yeah.
That was an awesome optical illusion, I have to admit.
I also like the, I don't know, the door hanger guys.
Yeah.
And then the...
Just shoves it in his mouth.
Yeah, and then the two card things that were like, one can tell the truth, one tells the truth, the other one lies. Like, there's, like, little things that I liked about it.
Mm-hmm.
The bog of eternal stench.
Yeah, the Ludo was the best part to me. Just smell.
Yeah. I don't know. I liked it. I gave it an 8.5. Ooh. It's one of those that I'm probably going to end up picking up if I find for a decent price. Because, I don't know. I just thought it was a fun movie that I could just have on in the background, or, you know, the music. Okay. No offense to people who love David Bowie. I don't really know anything much about David Bowie. I couldn't name like 5 songs of David Bowie's.
I talked about this on the last Scott Ritter podcast. Oh. I think I said that. I'm like, I could maybe name 5.
And I don't even think I could.
I call them all wrong names.
Right. I mean, it's not like I don't like his music. His music's good, but it's not one of those things that...
You know it.
I need to... Like, I don't have any of his albums, obviously. Yeah. If I hear it on the radio, I'm not going to change it. But it's not one of those that I'll go out specifically to hear.
Because I was talking about how I had that Labyrinth shirt.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I get more compliments on that one shirt than all the other ones combined.
Right.
And I'm like, I've never seen the movie. So I'm like, now I saw the movie.
And I have come across a couple David Bowie fans who's never seen Labyrinth.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's like
the thing is,
a cross-section of what his style is.
Again, it's part of the thing that, like, I'm not a huge... Jim Henson fan when it comes to fantasy stuff.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fantasy person.
That dance, magic dance song, oof. Ooh, no thank you. I couldn't. I'm like, and then
if you watch Dark Crystal now.
Like, yeah. And then Jennifer Connelly, I like Jennifer Connelly a lot, but her character was the worst. Like, literally, she's like, oh, at the very beginning, she's reciting her book. She's reading her book in a fucking field, and she goes, oh no, I'm supposed to be home right now. And then she's an hour late, and then before she gets in the house, she's like, it's not fair. It's like, what's not fair? You fucked your parents over. like they're already an hour late for their dinner reservation, and you're getting all upset because you knew this was coming. And then she's like, "Oh, I hate him. I hate like." And then like she doesn't redeem like her shitty attitude. It doesn't. It's not redeemed by the end of the movie. I'm like, "You're still a bad person."
So what'd you give it?
I gave it a 5.
Yeah, I gave it 8.5.
The thing is, like, I had people explain, I had people explain
why it's good,
like parts they liked about it. I'm like, yeah, and then I watched the movie. I'm like, that is a good part, but those are the good parts. Mm-hmm. Like the little worm guy, he's like, hello. Oh, did you say hello? No, I said hello. But that's close enough, or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I liked it. Yes, it was. And then the other movie I watched for the month that I haven't seen is Field of Dreams.
Oh, boy. Speaking
of... Because Dark Crystal was one I haven't seen. Labyrinth I've seen before.
Speaking of people being upset.
Field of Dreams, I've never seen. Okay. So, these movies I pick, everybody seems to know it. Like, they're referenced constantly. Mm-hmm. Almost every person I talk to has seen this movie or a lot of these movies on this list. I'm not a sports guy.
Yeah.
Right? I don't fully understand the appeal of sports stuff I can understand wanting to play it.
Yeah.
But I don't get the fandom that goes with sports stuff.
Yeah.
But hence the reason I haven't seen some of these movies is that I'm not going to go out, just like war movies. I'm not a huge war movie person. So there's a lot of really big war movies. There's a lot of big sports movies that I have not seen.
You watch Hoosiers.
I mean, earlier this year, one of them on my list was Rudy. I have never seen Rudy before. I liked it. It was good. Even though it was a sports movie, I enjoyed that one. So I'm setting this up. Rudy I watched in January. Okay, January 2017. This one... Okay, so the only thing I know about this movie before watching it
baseball.
Is that I think he's in Iowa and he owns a farm. He cuts down his farm and builds a baseball diamond, which is dumb because you can't make money in the middle of farm country with a baseball diamond. And that's all I knew about the movie. That takes place in the first couple minutes of the movie.
It is Iowa. Good job.
Well, it's corn, so I figured.
Yeah, that in Nebraska.
So that's what I knew about the movie. So when I started watching it, I expected, you know, that was the conclusion of the movie. It was the field, but that's the starter. So he builds this field, and everyone's like, why are you doing this? You're going to lose money. He's like, no, a voice told me I should build it, so I'm going to build it. And everyone's like, you are crazy. And then his building or his property is going into foreclosure because he can't afford to pay the bills because he doesn't have any crops to sell now. So he has this field and these ghosts come out of the corn crops to play baseball. And there are all these famous baseball players who are dead. But they're like ghosts, but they're not.
Apparently the Chicago White Sox from the 1919 World Series.
Yeah. So they come out, Shoeless Joe Jackson. Shoeless Joe Jackson is the only one I remember. But anyway, they come out and they're like, hey, we're going to play baseball. And they're like, oh, this is cool. But no one can see them except this family. So everyone's like, why are you just sitting on these benches watching an empty field? You don't see the players playing? They're like, no. I'm like, oh.
That's probably cute for 5 seconds.
Yeah. So that's like the first like couple minutes of the movie.
Jesus.
Then he gets another thing saying, oh, he should go to New York and find this author. Okay. And his wife's like, I don't know if you should because we don't have any money. We're already going close to foreclosure. He's like, yeah, but the voice is telling me to do this.
This is not a very supportive family.
No.
Like, you should like honestly check him into a hospital.
Right. But she sees the dead people too playing baseball.
Okay.
So does the kid. But so he goes to New York, and it's James Earl Jones is the author. I don't know. I don't remember his character's
name. I assumed he was a football player or a baseball player.
Yeah, I thought so too. But anyway, he goes there, and he's like, I have to take you to a Yankees game. And he's like, I don't know who you are. Leave me alone. And eventually he convinces him. They go to the game, and he sees a message in the scoreboards. It says, oh, I have to do this. I have to find this player. And it just becomes like a fucking treasure hunt where these voices are telling him to go from one place to another when you're thinking, okay, this is crazy. Why the fuck is he doing this? He's spending all the money he has. He has, like, no money, but he's going to do this because voices are telling him to. So then he ends up finding this guy who gave up baseball. Like, he was in the World Series, gave up baseball, started his own practice, like, dentistry or something like that. And he's like, hey, I got to show you something, blah, blah, blah. And, like, they end up going back home. And these people can also see the ghost, but none of the neighbors can. And they find a hitchhiker that's a ghost. He's one of the players that wanted to be on the team. And by the end of the movie, you find out that his dead dad was telling him all these messages just so he could play catch with his son, which he never did. And they're like, oh, because it's if you build it, he will come. And they're talking about his dad.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, okay, good. He got to play catch with his dad. But they're still fucking broke. And then it's like, who can put a price on that? Who can put a price on playing catch with your dad? That's the whole fucking point of the movie.
Okay. Doesn't seem like something I would watch.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. This is why I haven't watched it. So I gave it... I was nice because it was somewhat interesting. But I gave it a 5.5.
Ray Liotta's
Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Okay. I didn't.
Because he would be playing baseball, his feet would get sore, so he would take his shoes off, and he would run around the bases barefoot. Because that's what they did in 1919 whatever it was.
They didn't have laws for OSHA.
But you don't have to eat on the field.
OSHA is for just employees and stuff. It has something to do with... I'm saying that they don't break their toes off on the gravel or
whatever. Oh, James Earl Jones plays Terry, I wrote
Terrence
down.
Terrence Mann?
Yeah. And go to the game. Oh, Minnesota, the hitchhiker, and they catch... What is this? Catch with Dad. Oh,
catch with Dad.
I thought it said catch with Dart. Like, who the fuck's Dart? So, yeah.
Well, next movie...
That was fun, huh?
The next movie I watched, you watched as well, because I liked it. I watched it many, many, many years ago.
I apparently did, too. I didn't think I've seen this movie before, but then I'm watching it, I'm like, I've seen this. I know what's happening. How do I not remember watching this movie?
I remember watching it, like, when I was in high school or something. The movie's called Pumpkinhead, and I remember watching it and being like,
I remember watching it as I was watching it going, I remember this, but I don't remember it being that good.
But I remember, like, seeing, like, Pumpkinhead pictures and, like, this creature looks fucking awesome.
Yeah, he does look and pretty sweet.
Like, it's one of those... Well, anyways, Pumpkinhead and Lance... Oh, Lance Hendrickson, isn't it? No. The guy from Millennium and Alien and so that.
Head. Lance Hendrickson. And Jeff East, whatever that is.
But the movie kind of starts off with the main character seeing this person, like, knocking on their doors. Like, it's a dark, stormy night, and, like, this guy's like, let me in, some of that, and he sees, like, this creature in the distance, like, just murdering this dude, and it's like, oh, well, that's this character's backstory, he sees that, so it's already ingrained in your mind, like, okay, this legend of Pumpkinhead exists in their world, so anyways, jumping ahead, Lance Hendrickson, he's a single dad. I don't know if they ever explain what happened to the mom or anything, but he's a dad who runs like a general store, and he has a little kid who's probably around 8-ish, and he helps him out and some of that. But one day when he's working at the general store, because you follow these main characters, that main character mainly, but then like a horror movie, you see this car full of like. Privileged white kids are like, hey, we're going up to my uncle's cabin for the weekend. Like, it just, I like that aspect because it's normally you see it from their point of view the whole time. It's like, oh, it's a whole bunch of main characters you want to like, and then you see them slowly get picked off. But you see from the other point of view right away where you see like the main actor. Anyways, like while they're like waiting for stuff, like they're getting supplies and whatnot and filling gas and whatnot, and one of the guys like, I'm going to get on my motorbike and just and screw around on it and stuff like that, and he ends up murdering and like running over the main character's son, and he's like, fuck this, I've been drinking, I don't want to go to jail. So he fucking takes off, and his friends basically take off like, we got to stop him. So then it's up to Lance Hendrickson to be like, these kids murdered my son, I'm gonna go to this lady, this witch lady that lives in the forest, and I'm gonna get Pumpkinhead to go after them, because he knows about it because he saw it as a kid. And so then like he goes through this whole ritual of digging up this body that's in the cemetery, this specific body, and like doing this like blood ritual with it and stuff. And then the creature comes up and starts going after all the kids, but at the same time he has this weird like reaction to it. Like when the creature is attacking the kids, he sort of feels it and sees it, kind of like he has obviously a blood relate, like a blood magic type thing going on for that. But the thing I really like is the dude who like ran over the kid, he's not a good guy.
No.
Like normally when you see a movie like, oh, like Friday the 13th, like, oh, a bunch of kids like, hey, we're gonna do this, oh, we're getting murdered. This dude fucking like beats up his girlfriend, locks them in like closets, threatens to like murder them and stuff like that. Like just like, no, I'm not going to jail. He's like, ran over this dumb kid. Fuck this. I'm already on like parole and this is like, I can't. So like you're like, yeah, he fucking deserves this shit.
Yeah.
But like the plot is like spread out over the whole movie, so like it's as this is happening, then like the main character's like, I did something wrong. I can't let this keep happening, because he's seeing these kids getting murdered and stuff. So, and that's kind of where I'll leave the plot with that. But I like it because like in horror movies, usually you're like, oh, you don't see the creature till the very end. You go, oh, that's disappointing. This, you see it right away, and you're like, this looks cool. It's like Alien meets a Velociraptor, like in a way. But yeah, it reminds me a lot of like the Alien from like Aliens and stuff like that, you know. But I liked it.
I thought it was okay. I liked the creature. I thought he looked really cool. Like, I understand like the undertones of it and stuff, but I don't know. It didn't feel like there was much to it.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a revenge tale.
Yeah, that's
pretty much what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
So I gave it a 6.
I gave it a 7.5. But one of the reasons why, because I saw it cheap, so I picked it up. I'm like, oh, why not? Because I had a DVD pack with the second movie, so I'm like, I'll watch the second one. I'm like, hey, let's pick this up. Watch the first one, then the second one, because I figured, like a normal person, I'm an idiot and go, these movies probably tie in together, right?
No.
They sure don't.
It's just another instance where they do the same thing.
Kind of. Like, I feel like I fell asleep or didn't pay attention at one point because I got kind of confused. So, Pumpkinhead 2. Turns out it was direct-to-video.
Yeah.
So, it's already fucking winning in its book. Like, the biggest name, I think, tied to it was... I can't remember how to pronounce her name. Soil Moon Fry or whatever. The girl that was Punky Brewster.
Okay.
But she's just, like, this, like... thug kid. But anyways, this guy, he moves into the town to be the sheriff of town, and his daughter's in high school and she's all hot and everything, but she's all like a rebel, and the like, hey, you gotta go to school and be all a good person and stuff. But she like immediately meets all the kids that are like shitty kids and troublemakers and stuff, and like goes along with them. But like at the very beginning of the movie, like the first one, they have a flashback from the 50s, and there's these kids who are like, hey, we're cool, we're greasers, like from like we're from the Grease movie, like they got their slick back hair
and
they got like their like leather jackets and their Corvette convertible type thing, like, hey, look how cool we are. Not Corvette, Chevy, whatever, you know, those fancy cars, those like muscle
Chevy Equinox,
like the with the wings in the back, like the, you know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
Like the, not Chevy Equinox, like those like fancy cars, like
Corvette.
No, not Corvette. Like in like Grease and stuff, like Grease Lightning, like those big 1950s cars.
Muscle car?
Not a muscle car. Whatever. That's where we had Hot Wheels of them. But like they got those types of cars. Doesn't matter. But like
it's a type of car doesn't matter.
But then these kids like, hey, look at the freak kid, look at this freak. And there's this one kid who's like sort of deformed, like all weird looking and stuff. And they basically torture him and then drop him down this giant well.
Oh, that's fun.
And then it's the present, and then it's when the sheriff moving in town with his daughter and stuff, and the daughter like runs with the bad kids who skip class and like, hey, check this out. Look at this well. I hear someone dive here. Oh wow, that's neat. Hey, this is an old woman.
Oh, that's neat.
There's this old woman who lives up in this house. Let's go check it out. And they like, and it's the old woman who's like her son. It was her son that like that died in there, that died in the well or whatever. And she's like, they break into her house and like, oh, look at all this cool stuff. And she has this like all this like blood magic stuff, like all just set up, just waiting to be used, I guess. I don't get it. But then they end up like burning her house down and activating like the curse. Like they do this like on the dirt mound, they do this like ritual and they go, oh, nothing happened. And then that's when they accidentally burn down her house, and then it activates, and Pumpkinhead comes out of the ground and just starts murdering all these older people in town instead of the kids. I thought they were going to go after the kids. They start murdering all these old people in town. I'm like, what the fuck are they murdering the old people for? And he starts leaving like these sort of V marks like these in their blood, and they start calling them blood wings. And like, oh, it's blood wings. Oh, he's leaving the blood wings, and he's like murdering these people that are like 7 years old. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? Then they kind of wraps it back around, and you realize that it's the old woman when the guys that killed her kid at the beginning, she was had a revenge thing like to summon Pumpkinhead and send him after those guys, and I guess the kids finally finished and actually activated the spell. So all those greasers from the 50s, now they're adults and like older and so that. So Pumpkinhead was going after them and killing them because they killed their son all those years ago. But then he comes back for some reason. And I don't, that's part I'm like, what the fuck? Wait, what? Is he not?
Did he still look cool?
Who?
Pumpkinhead.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Was it the same puppet?
I think that just the shots sucked.
Okay.
Because this is, I mean, that's.
Yeah.
Him, but then, like, you can see
so on the. It's probably, like, the lighting that made it cool or something.
Yeah. But, like, see on the walls, it has all the blood wings.
Yeah.
Because that's the car. The car had those, like, those wings in the back.
Oh, okay.
Those fin things.
So, like, you're talking about, like, Christine.
Yeah, like, those types of cars. Yeah. But, It was definitely a made-for-video, directed video. The guy who played the sheriff, he apparently is in numerous movies like Hellraiser and Dirty Harry, but his acting...
They call it just as the Plymouth Fury.
Sure.
Is the type of car. See?
Yeah, it's like kind of those old-school kind of cars. But there's one part where he realized, like, it's Pumpkinhead, and they do one of those things where the camera zooms in on him, and he's, like, looking straight ahead, like, the legend of Pumpkinhead or something stupid like that. But he, like, looks all wall-eyed, like, oh, any sort of seriousness that you had just went out the window, because I'm not taking you threatening at all, sir. But, yeah, I gave it a... Oh, shit, what did I give? Pumpkinhead 2, Blood Wings, I gave it a 5. Okay. This many left.
So the next movie I watched, Scott already watched it.
Yeah.
Remember when you watched it?
Oh boy.
That's why I was pointing at it.
I can look.
So this was on HBO, and I haven't watched the third movie in the trilogy, because there's like X-Men trilogy and then the X-Men New Class trilogy, I think it was called. So X-Men Apocalypse I watched. Because, what is it, X-Men?
What?
Hang on.
X-Men Apocalypse.
X-Men New Class. And then Days of Future Past.
Oh, yeah.
And then the third one.
First Class.
First Class. Did I say New Class?
Yeah.
Same thing. Just kidding.
No.
No, it's not. X-Men Days of Future Past, I watched October 2014. X-Men Apocalypse. Basically follows up from New Class. You don't have it?
I don't have it with me.
Okay.
I'd have to look it up. It wasn't this year, is all I'm saying.
Okay. Because I was just going to say, I'm not going to go into much of the detail of the movie and tell them to listen to that podcast, but you don't know what it is.
Yeah, I'd have to, I'd have to look at my spreadsheet, which I don't have on me.
Yeah, so this one is in the same trilogy as those two other movies I said. It kind of ties everything together in a sense. Professor X loses his hair.
Which I was really worried that there was going to be something fucking stupid. Like, he shaved it off. But it actually kind of worked.
Yeah. I don't read the X-Men comics that much, so I don't know how much of this is accurate. But Mystique as a good person, was she good ever?
She was mainly a villain.
Or did they just make her good because it's Jennifer Lawrence?
She's mostly been, I don't want to say it necessarily a villain, because right. She was part of the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants.
Yeah.
But she mostly just does whatever the fuck she wants.
Right.
But, so whether it's, like, teaming up once in a great while with people just to get past the greater evil or whatever, but mostly, she's been mostly just a evil person. At least from what I know.
Yeah, and you find the origin of Cyclops, and
Cyclops was a piece of shit in that movie.
Like, a lot of it's weird because a lot of these people are decent actors, but they weren't good X-Men actors.
Yeah.
Because the girl from Game of Thrones who played Jean Grey, I thought she did a horrible Jean Grey.
Sophie Turner.
Cyclops was bad. Like, he was like a whiny little kid, and then, oh, now I'm badass. And he once he had his glasses, he acted the way Cyclops would, but you don't understand why he started acting that way.
Yeah, he's like, I'm tough shit.
Mm. Nightcrawler seemed really weird. Beast, there are like a lot of the characters that I didn't care much for as actors playing those characters. Magneto was like the best thing in the movie.
It was.
Again. He seems like the best thing in that trilogy.
Yeah, he really is. Because of the best part of the
Angel
first
seemed kind
of
cool. But I don't know. I thought Apocalypse himself was cooler than I thought he was going to be, just because of the pictures I saw, and I don't know anything about the character, so I don't know how accurate it was to the comics. Psylocke was cool, but she wasn't in it enough.
I never really read the Age
Storm,
of
I didn't
Apocalypse.
Care for that version of Storm. But yeah, overall, I gave it a 7.5. It wasn't anything amazing, but it didn't suck.
Yeah. I never really read the Age of Apocalypse stuff, but like most of the time it's been like, hey, look, remember how badass Apocalypse is? Here he is tossing
it. I had my expectations really low for this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a reason I waited this long to watch it, and it was better than I thought it was going to be, because I thought it was going to be complete shit.
Yeah, same for me.
Because, I don't know, Days of Future Past, I had high expectations, and it was worse than I thought. So, both those X-Men movies, they gave 7.5, so it's like, the shittiness and expectations, like, evened it out.
Yeah.
Because 7.5 is, for me, is a decent movie. It's not crap, but it's not good.
Yeah. I had to say, though, Days of Future Past, I bought it on, like, Black Friday, dirt cheap. Second time watching it, it's a lot better the second time.
Days of Future Past? Okay.
Yeah.
Because right now, I feel like this one was better than Days of Future Past. From, I don't know. But, I just know a lot of people liked Days of Future Past, yeah. And I was a little disappointed by it.
Sometimes the pacing of movies, watching the first time, like, you go, that was the climax. Like, knowing the pacing, like, sometimes rewatching a second time helps out with the movie.
Because you don't know where they're going, but now you do, so you can see where the arcs are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I might have given it an 8 when I saw it, because it was like one of those, I didn't have any expectations. I bought it cheap on Black Friday, and I watched it just at a good time. The next movie I watched was, I lost my sheet. I watched a movie called Kite.
Kite, man.
Based on... No, just Kite. Based on anime that I might have watched many years ago, but I can't remember exactly. Basically, it's Samuel L. Jackson is, like, one of the main characters in it. Actors in it, I should say. But it takes place in the... It takes place in, like, a shitty future where the value of money has, like, been obliterated. So people just start going into selling children.
Oh.
As slaves and stuff like that. And, so the main character...
It's like a barter system with people.
Well, like, not necessarily. It's like, that's just, like, the, like, they, like, oh, there's drugs and stuff like that, but, like, there's a lot of just, like, child selling and stuff like that. But the main character, she is, where is it? She is, using, like, her and Samuel L. Jackson, they're working together because he's, like, a police detective type thing. And she's trying to track down the people that killed her parents.
Okay.
The quick synopsis on IMDb is, when her cop father is killed, a young woman tracks the murderer with the help of his ex-partner. So the girl, Samuel Jackson is her dad's ex-partner, and they're trying to track down, she's going through all these, different, gangs and stuff like that, and just, like, busting in and trying to find leads and stuff. And the girl is badass. If Logan had come out around the same time as this, and they didn't have that little girl, I could have easily seen this girl being Laura, but I guess she was in a show. She was in Underworld movie, and what fucking show is she on? Some big important fucking dumb show that I would never watch. Secret Life of American Teenager. She was on. That's I think where she mainly got her pickup. But anyways, it was actually pretty action-y packed. The plot overall was pretty watered down though, because I bet this is what happened. And then sure enough, by the end of the movie, this is what happened. I'm like, yeah, it's pretty obvious. But the action, the fight scenes were pretty cool. She was awesome. It was a little bloodier. It felt like, oh, look how bloody we can be in this movie. But then at the same time, they go, but we're going to limit it. So at least, here's a bloody moment, then we'll wait a little while. And here's another one, but we'll hold back on it. But when it happens, it happens. I think the anime, there's, the girl, the guy, and then the guy taking care of him. But the dude that was in the movie, it felt like he was there for nothing. Because, it's, three main characters, but he was in the movie for maybe 10 minutes. It felt like he was just added it because there was a character in the anime. Mm. But overall, I gave it a 6.5. It wasn't bad, but I wouldn't recommend it to anyone. I had fun watching it.
Yeah, the last movie I watched was, right when it came out, was Gerald's Game.
And Jason watched it the end of the month, and I watched it beginning of October, but I figured instead of us splitting reviewing it
twice.
Yeah, and since, it's the first couple days of October, so I'm like, I'll just toss it on here so I don't have to review it next month.
Yeah, so Gerald's Game is a Netflix original movie based on a Stephen King story.
Novel, yep.
Oh, I thought it was After Sunset. It was...
No, it's a full. It's a. Full, oh. It's. I want to say it's one of his '90s or books from the '90s or.
Oh, 80, I thought it was in 80s. A collection.
No, okay. It's not that thick. It's like this thick.
Right. Okay. So the basic premise of Gerald's Game is this lady. I can't remember her name.
I want to say Lisa, but I don't know if that's right.
It's not Gerald. Jesse.
Oh, Jesse.
So Jesse and her husband Gerald. They go up north to their cabin, and you find out that their relationship has been a bit rocky, so they decided to do this little trip to try to reignite their fire, in a sense. And Gerald decides, I'm going to handcuff you to the bed and have my way with you And she gets, like, he handcuffs her.
Yeah.
Pops a Viagra. And's like, is gonna have his way with her. And she's not happy about it.
She's not liking it.
She's like, the only way you can get off is with medication and rape fantasies. And yeah, she gets a little mad.
Yeah. I mean, with real.
So they start having an argument, and he has a heart attack and dies.
He has a heart attack. He falls on the floor.
Oh, and you smashes his head, yeah.
Fucking bust his head.
Yeah, he falls. He has a heart attack, falls out the bed, hits his head on the floor, and you see a puddle of blood. So it's not good.
Yeah. At first, you're like, oh, he had a heart attack. And then, like, then she's looking, and you just see, like,
blood.
The puddle, like, just right. getting bigger. Like, oh,
so
shit.
So now she's handcuffed to this bed. Trying to figure out how she's going to get out. So she screams and stuff like that. But then she remembers he said something about no one's nearby. Everyone's gone for the season.
Well, there's no one within the
Because during his quote-unquote rape fantasy, he's like, scream. Because no one's going to hear you.
Yeah.
And so she's locked up to the bed, trying to think of ways to get out. She starts basically talking to herself and talking to her dead husband.
Hallucinating.
Yeah. Having flashbacks of when she was a little kid.
Yeah.
Which was disturbing. And yeah, I think that's as far as I'm going to go. There was a lot of disturbing events for different levels of disturbing, I should say. Because going into this, I just thought, oh, this is going to be a movie where she's stuck in the bed and she's trying to get out. But there's way more to it than I thought there was going to be.
Yeah.
Especially when she started having flashbacks of her being a kid. Yeah, I don't want to get into any of the other stuff. There was some pretty gross things in this movie.
It reminded me of, because I just looked up, the book came out in 92.
Okay.
But it reminds me of Dolores Claiborne in certain aspects.
Yeah, I've not seen that one, so I've got to put that on my list to
and
watch.
And I think they reference it a little bit. I don't know. I haven't read this book. But yeah, it's a short book. It's only 332 pages, so it's like half the size of a normal Stephen King book.
Okay. But yeah, like, after watching it, there are parts of it that made me want to read the book, and then there are other parts that I don't want.
Yeah.
Because there's some things I was like, oh, I'd like to see, because I'm sure he goes more into detail in a lot of this stuff. And you're like, some of this stuff I would like to see more detail about, and other things definitely not.
Yeah, I don't know how to zone out of, like,
yeah, you can't really zone out of a book. Like, well, watching the movie, I had a book, like, that I was sitting on the couch that I had, like, above my, like, eyesight. So I, like, and I just, like, you know, kind of like peeking through your fingers type thing at some scenes. And
yeah.
Like, the thing with Netflix, they don't have ratings, really.
Yeah.
So there was nothing holding them back. They could put whatever they wanted in this. And
it's
definitely too much for some people.
And the part that I'm freaking out the most about, for those who are unsure and like are nervous about certain things, it's not the part that I'm that creeped me out the most. It's not anything having to do with, like, sexual abuse at all. So that the part that creeped me out
there's still sexual abuse.
I meant the part that I had to cover my eyes was.
Yeah. I mean, but some people might have different
reactions
to different parts of the movies. But yeah, overall, I gave it an 8. It was very well executed. Yeah.
I mean that more in a sense of, like,
right.
A lot of things are implied.
Well, yeah.
But the part that I hated was not implied, because you saw what was happening.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
See this? There's not, like, you know, it doesn't show rape.
No.
That's basically what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It doesn't show rape. But there's...
God.
I mean, it definitely has the feel of rape in some spots.
What a shitty fucking character. That... Guilt.
So yeah, I gave it an 8. It was very well executed. I haven't read the book, but from what I've heard, it's a very good adaptation of it.
Yeah.
It felt like it was a good adaptation of it.
I have friends that I know that refuse to read the books. They start reading it and they go, this is not.
I was very uncomfortable with different parts of this movie.
Yeah.
And like you said, I don't know how you can scan over that when you're reading the book.
Yeah.
It's
weird when you're like, oh, thank God, I feel comfortable because now they're yelling at each other. Woof. Thank God. That part's over because now they're just yelling at each other.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
So, yeah, I gave that an 8. I don't know how many more movies you have. That was the last one.
That was the last one I watched. Okay. That I gave it... I don't know. I might have not been paying enough attention to it. Also, it was... I gave it about a 6.5. I feel like I'm not...
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was...
I feel like that's not generous enough, but at the same time, it's like 7 is too high. I don't know.
It was also one of those that I don't know if I would ever watch again.
Yeah. All the acting in it was fantastic. Yeah, the acting with
the characters were very well cast. The effects were very well done.
Except for that one dude was not as great, but that was because there was a weirdness involved. Yeah. But no, like, the young characters, the older characters, all of them were... great.
Yeah. So, the two movies I watched that were on my list were Dark Crystal, I gave a 6, and Field of Dreams, I gave a 5.5. The worst movie I saw, I guess, was Field of Dreams with a 5.5. The best movie I watched was Get Out with a 9.
The movies I watched on my collection was Training Day, Jaws 2, Jaws 3, Jaws 4, The Revenge, Mama, Monster House. Oh, I forgot Monster House.
Uh-oh.
Mama, Monster House, Pumpkinhead, Pumpkinhead 2, Blood Wings, and Kite. Monster House, sorry, I forgot to mention that. It's a movie...
Oh, Pumpkinhead 2 is called Blood Wings?
Pumpkinhead 2, Blood Wings.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I forgot to mention Monster House because it was after Mama and before Labyrinth.
Yeah, that happens when you jump around.
Yeah. The movie Monster House, it's a movie that was written by Dan Harmon and Robert Straub many years ago and then apparently got severely edited...
They didn't even know it was being turned into a movie until they saw the trailer.
Yeah, until they got paychecks. But then also, it wasn't even supposed to be a CG. It was supposed to be like a live action movie. But it's about these kids who live in this neighborhood. There's this old man that lives across the street from him who's like one of those guys that get off my lawn, and it's just a cranky old man. But then, because every time like someone leaves something on his lawn, he takes it and brings it inside. So one of the guys that's playing basketball, so he goes on the yard to pick up his basketball, and like they end up like yelling and fighting with the old dude, and he like has a heart attack, and like, oh shit, we killed him. But then one of the kids, like, they realize that they think the house is alive, so like they spy on it and stuff like that, and like watch it, and so they're trying to stop the house from eating children because Halloween's coming up, and it's going to be a field day for that house. It has some pretty funny moments here and there. It's a fine movie. It's fine. Like, I hate to say it, but like the police officers, Nick Cannon and Kevin James, they were one of the best parts of the movie.
And you've never said about their movies before.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like the main character and then like his fat friend and then this like preppy, girl who's like conning people and buying candy and stuff. Yeah, Jason Lee was in it as the boyfriend, and then Maggie Gyllenhaal is like the babysitter.
Oh, nice.
And so that, but like my favorite, because the two kids are explaining that they think the house is alive and also stuff to this other girl because both of them like her. And my favorite line was, she goes, "Are you guys mentally challenged? If you are, I'm certified to teach you baseball." Like, what the fuck? I don't know. That line just... I used to really challenge... I'm certified to teach you baseball because you can't learn it without being certified, apparently. I don't know. But yeah, it's a silly... Oh, Steve Buscemi is also the main old dude across the street. But yeah, it's pretty entertaining. I'm sure I would have loved it if I was like...
a kid?
Yeah. Yeah, if I was a kid. I was going to say like... 20 years younger, I'm like, no, I'll be a teenager. I'm like, this is not cool enough for me. But yeah, it's entertaining. I'm like, I kind of wonder what that video game was like now.
They made a video game?
Yeah, it was like for GameCube and PS2. Yeah, I remember seeing that Monster House. But overall, I gave it a 7. So my best movie, my favorite movie I watched this month was It with a 9, and my least favorite movie was Jaws 3 with a 4. On that, if you want to email any suggestions, comments, whatever else, stuffbyscott@gmail.com. stuffbyscott@gmail.com. Other than that, for September,
that's a wrap! A wrap.
This is a Scott Does Stuff podcast.